Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Habakkuk. The Old Testament passage of Habakkuk. Habakkuk in chapter 2. Of course, Habakkuk is found in what is called the Minor Prophets section of the Word of God. So if you take, turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and turn the other direction, you'll run into Malachi, then Zechariah, then you'll turn to Haggai, then Zephaniah, and then come to the book of Habakkuk. Everyone should name the books of the Bible backwards, right? Good. And so, the book of Habakkuk. Now, we're starting a brand new series today of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And what we're doing this morning is we're hitting Paul's life verse. And I'll explain what a life verse is in just a bit. But remember, when the Apostle Paul is writing, they didn't have a New Testament. So his life verse had to be drawn from the Old Testament, but it had to be something that was used to be the theme of his life. And in order to understand why Paul used this verse as his life verse, we have to understand a little bit of the context of it, and then we're going to see how he uses this life verse found in the New Testament. Look with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and notice with me verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he, that's God, will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark that phrase that we find in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, where it says, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. In the New Testament, it is recorded like this, the just shall live by faith. And so we're going to entitle the message this, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the great privilege it is to come to you this morning and to open up the Word of God. And as we start this series, I'm so excited for it. I'm asking, Lord, that you would make it clear. Let it be understood as we go through this passage. Help us as we explore the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul, that we could see that this is his life verse and how it defines him, how it defines the ministry that you've used him to be as the instrument. And I'm asking that he would encourage us to follow the same suit, that the just shall live by faith. Again, I need you today, physically and mentally, Lord. The best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Hey, by the end of this service, you should be able to have 4 memory verses done all at once, right? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, everyone should have a life verse. What is a life verse? A life verse is a verse from the Word of God that defines who you are as a Christian. It defines your life. It gives you hope. It gives you something to draw upon during those times of need. It gives you something that could just quickly describe you in a sentence. For example, the life verse of my wife is Exodus 19:5. Exodus 19:5. And what this verse talks about is that how God sees her and how he sees you and me is that God sees us as a peculiar treasure. You know what he sees us? He sees us as a treasure, but not any treasure, a peculiar treasure. What does the word peculiar mean? Does that mean that you're strange and lopsided and weird? No, the word peculiar means something that belongs inclusively to. For example, if I drew a big circle and then I had a dot in the middle of it, that dot would be peculiar to the circle. That means it belongs wholly and fully to that circle. Well, when God sees us as a peculiar treasure, he sees us as something that is wholly and fully his as a treasure. That you're wholly and fully his, and he sees you as a treasure. Because of different things in my wife's life, when she came to that verse, it changed her life. She no longer saw herself as she thought others saw her. She no longer saw herself as she thought she was. She saw herself as God saw her. As a special, unique treasure that God loved. And that defines her life. So whenever she gets to the place where she's got the pudgy lip disease and no one likes me, everyone hates me, think I'll eat some worms. She goes back to her life verse and says, no. God sees me as a peculiar treasure. So it's something that defines her life. It's something that she's able to look back and remind her of how God sees her. My life verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I put two of them together. It's a passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not transformed or conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. What defines my life? I always want the perfect, acceptable will of God. That's what I want. I don't want to be satisfied with something else. I want the good, perfect, and acceptable word of God. And having a scientific mind, it says the word prove. That word means prove. It means you used evidence to prove. There was evidence to show this was the right way. And how do you do that? By surrendering your life to God. That is, you yield yourself to God. His way is perfect. He'll show you the way that you're supposed to go. And so that's always defined my life. That's something I want, God's will above all things. And so the crazy things that I do, it's because I want to try to follow the Lord. I want to follow after him. I surrender myself and say, it's my reasonable service. Since he died for me, the least I could do is live for him. And as I live for him, he's going to lay out his will. And then it's going to be proven when it's done that this was the right way to go. Everyone should have a life verse. And if you don't have a life verse, one challenge I give you this morning is to find one. Find a Bible verse that defines who you are in the Lord. Find a verse that describes, that gives you hope, that when you go through those times, you go back to that verse and it puts you back on track. What is the verse that the Apostle Paul used in his life? In fact, that he wrote two books, Romans and Galatians, that center around this one verse. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What does this verse mean? What is the context? Now remember, the book of Habakkuk was written before Paul. So this was something he would study in the Old Testament scriptures. In the book of Habakkuk, judgment is about ready to fall upon the nation of Jerusalem, or Judah, and the city of Jerusalem. And God has already told him that judgment is coming. And so the prophet Habakkuk is standing on the watch. He's waiting to hear what God is going to tell him. And God gives him instructions. And then verse number 4, it says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, let's define terms. What is this word just? Whenever you see the word just in the Word of God, it normally means the idea of the position that God regards us in. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are considered justified, just as if you had never been a sinner. That's how God sees you positionally. It describes your relationship before God, that you are just. You are righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, and we have accepted what he has done. We are considered justified. So here it's not talking about lost people. It's talking about people who have accepted and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. By faith. That a justified person, someone who's saved, someone who's a believer, should live their life by faith, trusting in what God has given to, believing God and His Word. They're trusting Him by faith. Now, often if we were to give someone a question, what is the opposite of faith? The normal response would be unbelief, that it's either faith or unbelief. But that's not what the Bible says here. It gives a different definition. Notice with me in verse number 4 again. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, that's pride, is not upright in him. The Bible gives the definition here, but the just shall live by faith. So here it has one clause. Over here it has an opposite clause. The just shall live by faith. What is the opposite of faith? Pride. Pride. You say, how does that work? You see, you either choose to live your life by faith or you live your life by force. What does that mean? That means sometimes we can get to the place where we try to make things work. We hammer it, we squeeze it, we fight, we mangle, we wrestle, we do everything in ourselves to make something work. Or we could live our life saying, God, I'm trusting you, and I live following after him. We all live our life like this. You remember those old kid toys of that back in the day where the little globe that on the side of it had all the different shapes, the star, the moon, the square. And you remember watching a little kid, maybe it was you, take a circle and try to get it through the square hole. Now you can get it through there, but it takes some hammering, it takes some whatever else. I mean, it's much easier to put the circle in the circle hole, but there's just some people who just have to try to get in there. It's got to work. And you hammer and you squeeze and you move it. And you can get it in there. Yeah. But it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of frustration. It took a lot of work. When we try to do things ourselves, when we try to live life ourselves, you know what happens? We open ourselves to a lot of frustration, a lot of work, a lot of whatever, trying to make it work. Whereas the faith life, I'm just trusting in God. I'm doing what he's told me to do. That is the relief life. I'm just following. It doesn't mean that it's a bed of roses, but there's a peace. I know I'm following God. I know that his way is perfect. I'm doing what God has told me to say. So you either live your life by force or you live your life by faith. Either you will trust in something or someone. It's either you're trusting in yourself or you're trusting in God. But you live your life by force or you live your life by faith. And so the Apostle Paul, he took this verse and he made it his own. He said, you know what the life I live? It's just following after Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, the just shall live by faith. Now, we showed you the Old Testament context. Let's move to the New Testament. And let's watch as the Apostle Paul is used by the inspiration of Scripture. Each time he uses this phrase, the just shall live by faith, and show how he incorporates that. What does it mean, especially through the penmanship of the Apostle Paul, what does it mean that the just shall live by faith? Again, this was the phrase that defined him. And if we're going to give a subtitle to this series, the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, the subtitle would be, the just shall live by faith, because that was the definition of Paul's life. The just shall live by faith. Let's look at the first reference in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans, chapter 1. And let's watch as Paul, the human penman of the book of Romans, is writing this. And he quickly inserts this phrase, the just shall live by faith. Notice with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. And for context's sake, notice with me in verse number 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, now he's quoting it, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And in this passage here, he starts off by talking about the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. He says, you want to see someone's life changed? You present to them the gospel and you let them receive the wonderful gift that Jesus gave to them. And their life will change. Their life will be revolutionized. Their life would be totally turned around. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God. That means God's righteousness, his rightness, is revealed. How? Through the gospel. From faith to faith. This word phrase of faith to faith means from the beginning of faith to the end of faith. So faith to faith, from the beginning of faith to the end of faith, the just shall live by faith. Amen. What does that mean? What that means is that you come to Jesus Christ the same way as everyone else does, by faith. It is not your works. It's not how much money you give to the offering plates, how many times you go to church, how many little ladies you cross the street. You come to Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge of him by trusting him by faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So you start off your Christian walk by faith. Then how do you continue your Christian walk? What defines from the time that you get saved to the time you die? By faith. I just follow what God's given me to do. What should define me as a Christian? What should define me as someone who's following God? By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. That from the beginning of faith to the end of faith, so from the time that you accept Jesus Christ to the time that you go home, by the way, as soon as you die, absent from the body is present from the Lord, it's no longer by faith, it's now by sight. You see Jesus face to face. You see with your own eyeballs, that I may know him by the nail prints in his hand. I know him. I no longer need faith. I have sight. So from faith, so the time that I trusted Jesus Christ by faith, to the time that I die, and it is no longer faith by sight, my whole life as a Christian should be categorized, the just shall live by faith. That how should a Christian be defined? That is someone who lives by faith. That is someone who walks by faith. That is someone who does things by faith. That is someone so convinced that's what God has given them to do that they follow after it and there's no questions to it. Imagine, if you don't mind, an Old Testament example. You have in the city of Ur a man by the name of Abraham. Him and his wife are sitting in the city of Ur, and God says, Abraham, get up. I want you to follow with me to a place you don't know where. He says, where are we going? You don't need to know. You just know that I told you to go. Let's go. Yes, sir. And he followed God. Didn't know where he was going to stop at. He just followed God. That was a man who lived by faith. By faith. He just was so convinced, this is what God has given me to do. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. Why are you going? Because God told me to. Don't you think it'd be better to stay here? I don't know. I just know that God told me to go here. That's how Christians should be characterized. That people who follow after God by faith. This is what God has given me to do, and I'm going to do it. By the way, how do we know what God has given us to do? His precious word. God will never contradict this Bible. Never, ever, 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 ever. He will never contradict his Bible. So how do we know what God wants us to do? Read the Bible. Devour the Bible. Learn about the Bible. He will show us what we're supposed to do. Why? As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, his way is perfect. His way is the best way. And all I'm doing as a Christian, it makes it so simple. You know, in the Christian life, all your decisions are already made for you. You just got to find out what God told you to do. Man, that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of relief off of you. You don't have to say, what do I do? What do I do? You find what God's way is and you follow it. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. The just shall live by faith. From the beginning of our faith to the end of our faith, the whole characteristic of our Christian life should be the just shall live by faith. Let's look and see another passage that is found in here. Notice with me, before we go there, we're in Romans chapter 1. what it's talking about here is it's going to talk about the power of God. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is in the same context here. Why should we trust God by faith? Because of the power he holds. You know what the foundation of my faith is? Is the power of God. That the gospel is the power of God. That God is the one who made the world. You know why I can trust God? Because of who he is. He is the creator God. He will not steer me wrong. I'm not listening to someone who's going to tell me wrong. This is the God who sees the end from the beginning. The God who was so wise, he put this universe together. The God who was so amazing, he saved me from my sins. I can trust a God like that because he has all power, all might, all honor. He is God. My faith is based off the power of God and who he is. Let's see another passage, if you don't mind, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And we see another mention of the just shall live by faith, as the Apostle Paul is used to pen this book again. So the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And notice with me, let's pick it up starting at verse number 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. There's our phrase. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What do we see in this passage? It starts off in verse chapter 10, verse 38. That just shall live by faith. And then it gives an opposite. But if any man draw back, my soul had no pleasure in him. This is from God's perspective. That here we see that faith pleases God. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. We read up to that without faith it is impossible to please God. You know what God created us to do? He created us to live by faith. He created us to live following after him. To follow after him. And that if we choose not to follow after him, it is impossible to please him. If we choose not to follow after him, God says, my soul had no pleasure in him. God has created us to live by faith. Remember, the opposite of faith is not disbelief, it is pride. You see, if you try to go through your own life living how you want to live, doing the things that you think you should do, you are doing it on your own, and it is not pleasing to the Lord. But the just shall live by faith. That means, God, what do you want me to do? What step do you want me to take? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle this? God, you make it clear. Lead me on a plain path. And God will lead you on a plain path. That we either live our life by force or we live our life by faith. You are going to trust something. It's either you're trusting in yourself or you're trusting in God. But God said this, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And by the way, this passage here in chapter 10, verses 38, 39, goes straight into chapter 11. There is no chapter and verse divisions. These are added for our benefit. But the letter goes straight on. It doesn't stop and say next chapter. This is going straight on. So the just shall live by faith. Then what God does in Hebrews chapter 11 is he gives us example by faith, by faith, by faith. And remember, faith always produces action. If you're writing down notes, that's a good note to put. Faith always produces action. And we see that here. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. And it goes on and it explains them here. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. Moses' parents. By faith, Moses. And then it goes on. If I remember right, someone told me there were 15 names associated by faith that they did something and they followed after the Lord. Faith always produces action. Always produces action. And that's what chapter 11 is talking about. That you can say, I believe God all you want, but if you're not doing anything with it, that's not faith. That's not true Bible-believing faith. It doesn't match with what the Bible says. Faith is following after him. It's looking unto Jesus. Remember, in Hebrews chapter 11, it describes what faith is. And Hebrews chapter 12, it defines what faith is. What do I mean by that? In Hebrews 11, it describes over and over by faith this, by faith this. So it describes it. It gives us an illustration. But it defines what faith is, Hebrews chapter number 12, and notice with me in verse number 2. What is the definition of faith? If you wanted to nail down and say what is a clear, concise Bible definition of faith, Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what is the definition of faith? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And as you're looking unto Jesus, you will follow after him. That means there's action being done. You can't just look unto Jesus and not do anything. As you're looking unto him, you are following after him. You are choosing the path that he has set before you. There's an action done. So God created us to live by faith. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 6. This cannot be underscored enough. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You say, well, then how do I follow him? Quite simple. God has given us the Bible. And the Bible is full of promises. As you take a promise, as you take something from God's word, as you take a commandment, what you do is you just obey what God's given you to do because he gave it to you. And you're pleasing to God. You know how simple that is? You know how freeing that is? Some people say, well, in order to be pleasing to God, you have to be a pastor, I have to do this. No, you can be pleasing to God. Amen. If you woke up this morning and said, I want to go to church because that will honor God, because that's what God's word said so, you followed God by faith. He is pleased with you. Now, if you came because that's what pastor wanted you to do, well, you're not looking unto Jesus. Get your eyes off me and get him onto the Lord. Why do I do these things? Because this is what God has given me to do. I'm following after him. And by the way, we do it not in order to get something from him. We do it because of what he's already done for us. He's done so much for me. How can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? After all, he's done for me. I'm following after him because of all that he's done for me. And because he's a good God. And because he told me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. I show up to church every time I have the opportunity because it's what he's given me to do. And I want to be pleasing to him. I step by faith. Why do I read my Bible? Well, not because pastor's going to ask me about it. Not because I have to check it off my list. I'm reading it because this is what God has given me to do. And I'm excited for his will. Why do I go tell people about souls? Why do I pass out tracts? Not just because, well, I'm supposed to pass out a tract every day or what. I'm doing it because of what he's done for me. And this is what he's given me to do. He told me to go out and tell the whole world about the gospel. I'm just obeying what he's told me to do. I'm living by faith. You see, the faith life is the easy life. It's the stress off the shoulders life. I'm just following what God has given me to do. You see, God's way is always simple. It is us that makes it complicated. When we mix our own ways, our own thoughts, and our own opinions, we could shipwreck the whole thing in a hurry, right? I don't have to ask for a show of hands how many of you have ever been to the place where you took charge of the reins and you wrecked the ship, and now people are crying and people are heartbroken and people are hurt because we took charge, right? You don't have to raise your hand because we would all do it, right? When we drive the ship, we drive it to the ground. But when God's in charge, God's way is perfect. His way will work. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We've seen the book of Romans. We've seen the book of Hebrews. But let's see another passage where the Apostle Paul records this verse and he describes it. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. So the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. The book of Galatians. In fact, the entire book of Romans has that same theme, the just shall live by faith. And he describes the theology, the doctrine of salvation throughout the book of Romans. And the book of Galatians, once again, the whole theme of the book is the just shall live by faith. And the whole thing is not describing how you come to know the Lord, but it's how you live your life after coming to know the Lord. You live your life by faith. You trust after God. Galatians chapter number 3, if you don't mind. Galatians chapter number 3. And notice with me in verse number 10. Galatians 3 and verse number 10. It says, "For as many are as under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which were written in the book of law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Here it's talking about this idea of following the law. Remember, the Jewish friends have taken God's law and they twisted it and they made it to something that it wasn't supposed to be. For example, the Jewish people were taught that you're not supposed to do work on Sunday. They're also taught that part of work is lighting a fire. Well, we don't usually light fires on a normal basis, but they took it to apply your light switches. So what they do, remember, their Sabbath is on our Saturday and it starts on Friday night at sundown. So what they have to do is that once the Sabbath hits, they're not allowed to turn on or off a light switch. That means you either have them all on, or what you need on, or you keep them off. That also includes your refrigerator, right? You open up your refrigerator, the light comes on. What they have to do, for those Orthodox who are following after things, they actually, on Friday, before the sun goes down, they unscrew their light in the refrigerator so the light doesn't come on. No work is done. Now, wouldn't that be an awful way to live? To follow a list of rules that you can only take a certain number of steps on the Sabbath day. You can only do a certain amount of you have to do this and you have to do this. God did not save us to live under a list. He did not save us, so we have to keep this checklist and this checklist. You know what God saved us to do? So we had the freedom to follow after Jesus. That we just do what He says. It's not a checklist that we live through, that if you're following after God, you will automatically do what's right. Does that make sense? You will just automatically do what's right. Just follow after Him. And the book of Galatians, what happened is that some people came to the churches of Galatia and began to teach them that after they got saved, now you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this. And they were unreasonable things. For example, they were Gentile churches and they had people that said you have to go through circumcision. You have to keep this feast. You have to do this. You can no longer eat bacon. Some of you would have a hard time with that, right? Bacon, you know, bacon cheeseburger, you know, some of that stuff. You couldn't wear you couldn't mix fabrics like cotton and wool. You couldn't mix them together. And there was all kinds of different stuff that went on there. Well, that was an unreasonable list, especially since they also said that if you did not do those things, you would lose your salvation. Man, if you ate pork, you're going to hell. Well, that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what God intended by that. We live by faith. We follow what God has given us to do. We live just looking unto Jesus and let Him guide us through His precious word. We live, the just shall live by faith. And where does this faith center on? It's on Jesus Christ. Amen. Why in the world am I going to heaven? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Why can I continue to follow after Him? Because He's up in heaven. He's a living Savior. He's not a dead Savior. He cares for me now. He's watching over me. The just shall live by faith. You see, He's a living Savior who's watching over me, and He cares for me, and He delights for me. And He watches my path, and He can help guide me and show me, and I can ask for Him, and He can speak to me. What a wonderful Savior that I have. The just shall live by faith. No wonder this was the Apostle Paul's life verse, that he had two books that were centered on the whole theme, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This is the verse that revolutionized the Apostle Paul's life. And we're going to, as we go through this series, you're going to see this phrase, even though it may not be mentioned, you could think about it in Paul's life. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? How did this happen? The just shall live by faith. But this verse just didn't change the Apostle Paul's life. It was also the life verse of another historical figure by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was used of God to start what is called the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther, when he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, began to identify that there was many differences between the Catholic traditions and what the Bible said. In fact, they had a man by the name of Johann Tetzel who would go around with his tin cup and say that when a coin is dropped, someone, a soul is set free from purgatory. They used to teach a thing called indulgences, that if you wanted a loved one free, that if you gave money to the Catholic Church, that the Pope had the power to allow your loved one to get out of purgatory and go to heaven. They would also teach certain things that when they wanted to raise a lot of money at this time of Martin Luther, they were building St. Peter's Basilica, and they needed to raise money somehow, so they would sell things called indulgences. That what you could do is if you give a certain amount of money to the Catholic Church, they would give you a certificate that said that you are forgiven of your sins for the next year. So you could go do whatever you want, you are forgiven. That you here's a signed thing, you are free. And Martin Luther, when he was hearing this, he got so upset that what he did is he wrote the 95 Theses, nailed them to the church walls, to the church door, protesting all the things that was wrong. And that was October 31st, 1517, the official start of the Protestant Reformation. However, Martin Luther didn't start there. Where did Martin Luther come from? Martin Luther went to college at the age of 13. And he obtained his bachelor's and his master's as fast as he possibly could. Yeah, it shows a little bit of different maturity back then. They went to college at age 13. Some of you aren't ready for that who are getting close to 13, right? Anyways, and so he went and was going to become like a lawyer, a philosopher. He was a great debater. But God got his attention when he was riding on horses out in the field when lightning struck right by him and threw him off. And he realized how close he was to death. And he says, all right, God, I'll surrender to whatever you have me to do. In fact, I think he prayed to Saint Anne and not necessarily to God. And he said, I'll become a monk. And one of the things that bothered Martin Luther after this is that he never had peace. He said, I don't know that God has forgiven me. I don't know that God has heard me. I want to do whatever it takes to get God's forgiveness, whatever I can do. So he became a monk and first set the vow of being a monk. After that, he took the vow of silence. He said, I'm not going to say anything anymore until I show God how sorry I really am. And so if I don't say any more words, that God will look down at me and he'll realize how sorry I am. But that didn't give him peace. So he got to the place where he began to fast often. And he would actually take periods where it was almost weeks where he didn't eat a thing. And he would become so weak and so feeble that the other monks had to force feed him in order to keep him alive. He would do certain things like on cold days. Now, they didn't have nice heaters like we did. They would have cold castles and cold, damp, wet bricks. He would sleep in the cold in Germany without a blanket to show God how serious he was. That if he could convince God that he was really sorry, that God would finally forgive him. And he was doing everything he could to show how serious he was. Then he became what was called a flatulent. A flatulence where they would often take whips and they would walk around and whip their back, scarring it, making it bleed, just hoping that, God, can't you see how sorry I am? Please forgive me. See this. Look at all that I'm doing. Notice me. And none of it gave him any peace. Well, being a Roman Catholic, they were always taught that Rome was the center of the world and that Rome was like the Emerald City. And he figured, if I make a pilgrimage to Rome, I'll look in there and I'll see how holy and how beautiful people live there. That's where all the perfect people are at. If I go there and I'll see how perfect they are, oh, maybe it will motivate me and show me something I'm missing in my life. Well, he went to Rome and saw how corrupt and evil and dirty it was, and it didn't impress him much. But he figured, I got to do something. The Roman Catholics had an artifact there called the Staircase of Pilate, where supposedly this is where Jesus Christ, the steps that Jesus Christ took to go get sentencing from Pilate, and that somehow the Roman Catholics took it from Jerusalem and had preserved it at Rome. And what people would do is they would literally go the stairs and they would start on their knees and they would climb step by step. I'd get down, but I don't think I could get back up to show you. But they would go up the steps on their knees and they would get to one step and they would pray, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And they would go up the other step and Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And it was said that when Martin Luther went up the stairs, that the phrase came in his mind from his Bible reading, the just shall live by faith. Now, he didn't get saved yet, but as he was walking the stairs, he was realizing, this isn't doing anything for me. And the Bible verse kept going in his mind, the just shall live by faith. And he kept climbing. Finally, he went back to Germany and he began to teach at a college. And two of the courses that he taught was the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. By the way, what verse is found in each one of those? The just shall live by faith. And so Martin Luther, as he began to teach verse by verse through the book of Romans, a lot of people give credit to the book of Romans, but it was actually the book of Galatians that captured his heart. That through his studies and through teaching this verse by verse, he realized it finally clicked, the just shall live by faith. I don't have to do anything to get God to forgive me. He's already done the work for me. All I have to do is trust in what Jesus Christ has already done. It's nothing that I can do. The work is finished. The just shall live by faith. And it changed his life. And of course, later on, he became the father of the Protestant Reformation. And we appreciate him coming to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. But it was this life verse that changed and revolutionized his life. Just like it changed and revolutionized the Apostle Paul's life. It became the theme of both of their lives and both of the ministries that God had set up for them. The just shall live by faith. So, dear friend, if someone was to come up to you and say, I know how your life is characterized, how would they characterize it? Would they characterize you as someone that likes to go have fun? Would they characterize you as someone who's always in trouble and look at all the messes you have? Would you be characterized as, oh, that person over there? How would they characterize you? You know how God desires for us to be characterized? The just shall live by faith. That when you see that person over there, that is a person of faith. That is a person who follows after God. That is a person who's characterized in their life that without a doubt, they will always follow the Lord. That you look at them and say, I have no doubts whatsoever. They follow God. They follow God. What a wonderful testimony that would be of you and I. If people who knew us and they watched as our life changed, that's someone who follows God. That's someone who walks with God. That is someone who's the friend of God. That is someone who lives by faith. Remember, faith is not an empty thing. Faith always produces action. If you say that you follow God, it will be evidenced in your life. People could look behind and say, yep, that's proof that they walked with God. That is evidence. Look at how they carry themselves. Look at their demeanor. Look how they deal with people. That's someone who follows God. That is someone characterized by faith. That is someone who has great faith. By the way, it is not how much faith you have. It is the object that you are placing your faith in. There are many people who have great faith in things outside of the Bible. They had a big march the other day of those who were trying to convince the government to pay more attention to the climate. There are people who worship Mother Earth. There are people who worship this and that. But it is not how much faith you have. It is the object you're placing your faith into. Many people have much more faith than you and I have, just in the wrong thing. The just shall live by faith. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.